18 minutes past 8 now, Norfolk's Mental Health Trust will be submitting their 5-year strategic plan to the health regulator Monitor today. It'll detail its plans to save around £44 million over the next 5 years. And it's not just the Norfolk and Suffolk NHS Foundation Trust. Every NHS trust in the country has to submit their plans to Monitor by the end of the day. Early in the programme, we heard from the commercial director of the trust, Lee Howlett, and she explains what the plan actually contains.
It's a way to try and think about the problems that we know are facing the health service around capacity, demand and money over the next 5 years, so that we start to think of it as a really joined up health system as opposed to just individual organisations. So in our plan, we talk about the geographical area we cover, we talk about the number of beds we have, we talk about staff, we talk about the demographics, we talk about the fact we know within Norfolk the number of people over the age of 75 is due to increase dramatically. So there's lots of different things. It's a very different plan to what we've produced previously.
Let's talk more about this with Emma Corlett from the Union Unison. Thanks for coming in, Emma.
Good morning.
What about this figure of £44 million in savings over the next 5 years? Is that a figure you're familiar with?
I read the papers that went to the public board meeting last week, but this plan hasn't actually formally been shared with Unison and therefore staff at the moment. But the figure of 40 million is absolutely horrifying, because I think we need to remember that's on top of the cuts that we've already had that have had a pretty catastrophic effect over the last couple of years.
So what are your fears then, if this is implemented, these £44 million worth of cuts? Do you think services can be maintained at their existing level?
They absolutely will not be able to. The problem is bad nationally, particularly acutely bad here, but only last week Sue Bailey, who is the outgoing president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, said that mental health services are a car crash, and that she believes that Jeremy Hunt isn't taking seriously just how bad things are in mental health services. And we would absolutely agree with her. Things are acutely bad already. It's completely unthinkable to take any more resources out. One of the directors at the public board meeting last week actually acknowledged that when you take into account the expected rise of demand for our services, it actually equates in real terms to a 7.5% cut to services, and that just is not going to be tenable.
But you must recognise that the trust is under pressure to reduce their spend, so however much they try and dress it up, they're probably going to have to make some cuts somewhere.
We'd like them to actually campaign with us. We've had Norman Lamb and various other ministers talking a lot about parity of esteem for mental health. We know that it accounts for at least 25% of the illness burden in the NHS, but it only attracts 12% of the funding. So we would ask the Trust to join us, like the Chief Executive of Sussex Mental Health Trust has spoken out last week as well, and say actually give us equal funding to what our need is, and then see what kind of a service we can provide. They're imposing this cut on a service that is already massively underfunded.
Do you think that's likely that they would do that? As you say, it's happened elsewhere.
We're hopeful that because it's happened elsewhere, I think we need to be having dialogue with the clinical commissioning groups and with our MPs. But also I think these changes, the consequences if this comes in, are so severe that the public have got a right to say. And with the last round of cuts, it was only Health East over at Great Yarmouth and Waveney that did any kind of public consultation. So we would call on the clinical commissioning groups to make sure that there is full public consultation, so that people who are going to rely on these services or may need them in the future fully understand what the consequences would be.
Have the Trust done enough consultation at all? Because you said the document wasn't shared with you. Have they consulted you much during this process?
Not formally. They've held some engagement events. They've held 7. 200 people attended. That's only about 30 per consultation. To put that in context, over 3,500 staff work in our services. And obviously there's tens of thousands of people that access our services and live in the community. So the number of people who have contributed to this plan that's been submitted is absolutely tiny.
Is this that significant, though? Because it is just a strategic outline plan. Does it really mean anything significant? On the basis of the Trust would have to do separate consultations if they were going to make any future changes to services.
They would have to, but there was a surprising amount of detail in this in terms of the expected number of reduction of staff, taking us down to around 3,300 staff. To put that in context, before this current round of cuts, we had over 4,000 staff. And you need to remember that mental health is actually about talking to people. Our biggest resource is our staff. It's about the relationship that we build with people who need our services. So, you know, there's a surprising amount of detail in it.
What would you like to see the Trust do next then? Where do you think they should go from here?
I think they need to work with us to go back to the clinical commissioning groups and our local MPs and spell out. Take the example of, you know, the Royal College of Psychiatrists and other chief executives and say, actually, we demand fair funding for mental health services. We cannot safely implement what you're asking to do. Learn the lessons from Mid-Staffordshire Inquiry, which saw that trust put too much focus on meeting, monitor and its financial responsibilities at the expense of patient quality and safety. And we'd ask them to do that alongside us.
Do you think there's a temptation that often a trust will sort of sit back and take it rather than being a bit more vocal, as you're calling?
I think they are in a difficult position. Perhaps it's sometimes easier for us to say things that we hope they would like to say, but we say it comes down to this. We staff at the Trust have been speaking out because we believe that our professional code of conduct means that to say stay silent would bring us in breach with that. We would argue as well that people at the top of the organisation have got a responsibility to say, actually, what you've asked us to do is untenable and we're not going to be able to do it safely, and actually demand a fair funding for mental health.
All right, Emma, good to see you this morning. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's Emma Corlett from the Union Unison at 8:24 on BBC Radio Norfolk.